And we're holding on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, about the middle of the Amud, six lines from the end of the middle-sized lines. Check that, actually, two lines above that, rather. Eight lines from the end of the middle-sized line. The line begins Chachamim. We talked yesterday about Tchias HaMesim. In particular, we said that the Tzadikim, and in general, the Jews who deserve Tchias HaMesim, because of Amos Kulam Tzadikim, who live in Chutzla, who passed away in Chutzlaaretz, are going to have to go through tunnels to come to Eretz Yisrael. We talked about, does that mean the Rashi said they're going to walk through those tunnels? There are Mephoshim who learn that it means they're going to roll through them. Anyway, so continuing on that topic, I'm going to pray by Yosef. I sit in Tzadikim Shem of
just one opinion.
Yeah. Well, no. What we said was we said, well, I mean, it's more than one opinion. We said first we had Rabbi Lazar saying, not Rabbi Lazar, we had Rabbi Lazar saying Mason Shabbat Einam Chayim, and we ended up saying that what he means, not Einam Chayim, not that they don't come alive, but Tchias HaMesim at all, but that they won't come alive, but that the full Tchias HaMesim won't take place in Chutz La'aretz. Some aspect of it is going to have to take place in Eretz Yisrael. So now continuing on that theme.
That's just his opinion. He says that.
Okay, but we didn't find anybody who disagreed with him. So therefore, that's how it is. And we brought also Kauna said that, and we said Kauna said that about Yaakov, and Rav Chanina said it about Yosef. So yeah, it seems to be an accepted concept. So now, continuing on that topic, Amar Pri by Yosef, Asidin Tzadikim Shemavatz Bitzin Be'olim Yerushalayim. In the future, the Tzadikim are going to sprout forth from the ground in Yerushalayim. Meaning, again, the same idea. They're going to come, they're going to have Tchias HaMesim, and they're going to pop out of the ground in Yerushalayim. Shenema, because the pasuk says, V'yatzitzu Me'ir Ke'es HaVa'aretz. They will sprout forth from the city like grass from the ground. And what city? The Ein Ir El Yerushalayim. The word city here means Yerushalayim. Shenema, V'ganosi El Ir Azois. As we find, it's described, Hashem says, I will protect this city when Sancheirev was attacked. So therefore, it means, in other words, that the full Tchias HaMesim, the final stage of Tchias HaMesim, when they actually pop out of the ground, is going to take place in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara continues, V'omer Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Asidin Tzadikim Sheyamdu B'Mavul Sheihem. These Tzadikim, when they come alive by Tchias HaMesim, and again, we don't just mean Tzadikim, we mean any Yid who deserves Tchias HaMesim, so they are going to come out of it, they're going to rise up, they're going to come, and the point of the previous one, by the way, Marashah said, the point is just like grass grows without being planted, then the point is, in other words, that they're going to come forth from the ground. So now he says also, Asidim Tzadikim Shiyamdu B'Mabul Shehem. The Tzadikim will come up at Tchias HaMesim with their clothing. Now, Tosfos discusses, on the face of it, that means the clothing they were buried in, they were tachrichim. But then Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that actually what it means is the clothing that they wore while they were alive. The type of clothing Hashem will put back on them of the type of clothing that they wore while they were alive. Anyway, he says, how do we know this? Kavachomer mechita. We can make a kavachomer from the way a grain of wheat grows. Ma chita shenikbara aruma. Madach, a grain of wheat is buried in the ground naked. You don't have all of the various peels and shells that cover the grain aren't planted together with it, which in other places, Tosfos points out, very often they are. But the point is, even if you plant it without them, when wheat grows, it grows with all those various clothing over it. It has various layers of shells that grow over the grain. So then, tzaddikim shenikbaru b'levushiyam, the tzaddikim who were buried with their clothing, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so that they will come up by Tchias HaMesim with that clothing. Again, whether it means their tachrichim or whether it means the clothing they wore while they were alive. And another thing, v'omer apchir by Yosef, asida Eretz Yisrael shetotzi gluskois of clay mevas. Asida Eretz Yisrael shetotzi gluskois of clay mevas. In the future, Eretz Yisrael will produce, in the times of Mashiach, Eretz Yisrael will produce loaves of bread, gluskois are loaves of bread, or clay mevas and clothing of fine wool. So in other words, it won't be like now where you have the earth produces, but it produces raw materials, which then you have to turn into something edible or something wearable. La'asid lava, it's actually going to be right away edible and right away wearable. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Yehi Pisas Bar Ba'aretz. So the pasuk says there will be a Pisas Bar in the land. Now the word Pisas, Rashi explains, literally means something wide. The word Pisas suggests the word pass, which means the palm of a hand. So it means something as wide as the palm. So therefore, it can't mean wheat. Wheat doesn't grow like that, you know, as a wide thing. Wheat is roundish. Wheat kernels are roundish, ovalish, whatever. They're not wide and flat. Therefore, it has to mean bread. And in turn, also, the word pisas can also be related to the word ksonis pasim, which was a coat of fine wool that Yaakov made for Yosef. So therefore, that word pisas bar means grain. So pisas bar means that there will be bread that's wide like the hand, already baked bread, as well as clothing. In fact, there's a Gemara elsewhere that points out to everything that we have. We'll also love it. We have a semblance of it even now. And one example of that is you have there's a Gemara in Shabbos, I think, where Rav Gamliel points out that you have, for example, nowadays you have mushrooms grow, which are edible right when you pick them from the ground, and they are round and flat, and in a certain sense, the cap of them resembles a loaf of bread. So therefore, you have a me'ain of that even now. But also love it. You're going to have more so. So Tanan Abbanim, we learn in a Braisa more on that. When it says Yehi Pisas Bar Ba'aretz Barosh Harim, the pasuk says there will be a Pisas Bar, which again we said meant there'll be food and there'll be clothing growing out of the ground. Barosh Harim. Now it also says it's going to be at the tops of the mountains. Right? So the Chachamim said it means Asida Chita Chitamer Kadekel, means that in the future, in Mashiach's times, wheat will grow tall like a palm tree, but over Barosh Harim, and it will grow on the tops of mountains. So that's the Barosh Harim. The point is, and Marsha points out, wheat, that's not usually the place where you grow wheat, but the point is that it will be so tall, which we find, by the way, before the Chet Eitz Hadas, wheat also grew on trees. There's an opinion that the Eitz Hadas itself was wheat. So now, we'll also love it when the effects of the Chet Eitz Hadas will have been all removed from the world, then therefore it'll go back to being the way it was before. The Shema Tomar, and the Braisa continues, you might think, well, in that case, if it's tall and it's growing on tops of the mountains, yes, the Kotzra, it's going to be very hard to harvest it. It's going to be very high up. Tamad Loma, therefore, the same pasuk until it continues, Yirash Kalavonin period. The fruit of it will rustle like Levonin. Levonin, where all the tall trees grow. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be Ruach, may basically melt. So Hashem will bring a wind from his storehouses, and make it blow on these very tall, stalks of grain, umashre solta, and cause the solus, the fine flour of it, to fall off. The adam yotzel osada. So all the person has to do now is go out to the field, or maybe maloy pisas yodai, and take a handful of it. So again, the word pisas bar now does mean a hand, but now it means that he's going to be able to gather handfuls of it. And he met a panasasa, and from that one handful of solus, from this kind of wheat, he'll have panasa, he'll be able to feed himself and his family, because Hashem will give a bracha in it, that a small amount of it, even a small amount, a handful, will supply him and his family. So that's another meaning.
This is just an Eretz Yisrael, right?
What?
All this is just an Eretz Yisrael.
The Pashtus, I guess, we're saying Asida Eretz Yisrael. So yeah, the Pashtus, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. There is, by the way, I mean, we're going to talk about further on at the very end of the Masechta on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. We're going to talk about what Eretz Yisrael is going to produce. Loss of love. There is, in fact, a Sicha in Chelek Chav Zayin where the Rebbe analyzes this whole matter in some detail. The question being, when in Yemos HaMashiach are we talking about? Don't we have the famous thing that Rambam says that there's no Olam Kimin Hogin Noyeg, the world is going to continue lasting as it is now in Yemos HaMashiach. So first, yeah, the Rebbe talks about in that Sicha, maybe there'll be a difference between Eretz Yisrael and other lands, but in the end, the Rebbe says this is the famous thing about the two periods in Yemos HaMashiach. We have an earlier period when Olam Kimin Hogin Noyeg, and the only difference is that we're no longer subjugated to the Goyim, and then you'll have a second period, which is when you're going to have all these various changes in the natural world that we see, that we're talking about in this Gemara. where the idea is also that the Rebbe explains, and we find this idea, he quotes from earlier Mephoshim, that all of these things existed already in potential in the world before the Chet Eitz Hadas, and that's how it should have been. Then the Chet Eitz Hadas grew in them. Now, loss of love, it's going to go back to the way it should have been all along. Continuing on this topic, which now also gets us back into the greatness of the produce of Eretz Yisrael, when the Jewish people are living there and acting as Hashem wants. The pasuk says, "Im chelev kol yeschita." So you have a pasuk in Hazinu where it describes the tremendous fertility of Eretz Yisrael and the tremendous plenty that you can find there. And the expression is that Hashem gave the Jewish people a bountiful land, "Im chelev kol yeschita," with the fat of the kidneys of wheat. So what does that mean? It means that Omru, they said, "Asida chita shetesh kishtei kloyes shall share that God." In the future, in Mashiach's times, a single grain of wheat will be as large as the two kidneys of a large ox. Which, in fact, there's a Gemara in Tainus that tells us that there was a period during the second Beis Hamikdash also where they were zoicha to that bracha for a period of time. So now, lots of love, it'll remain that way. But al tisma, and it goes on to say, don't be surprised how could a grain of wheat grow that large. We'll give you another example. Shadei shuol kinen b'lefes. There's an example where one time a wolf made its den in a turnip, so it hollowed out the turnip and then made itself a den in there. V'shakluhu. Later on, they weighed what was left of the turnip after the wolf had eaten part of it. U'matzavu shishim litrin b'litra shaltziporti. They found that it weighed 60 litras of the litra size that they use in tziporti. A litra is about a pound. So we're saying that the remains of this turnip, after there was already a hollow in it for the wolf's den, wound up weighing about 60 pounds. So you see that, yes, Eretz Yisrael is capable of producing gigantic fruit when the Eibishter gives his bracha. So now we're going to go into a discussion more about that topic. Tanya, we learn in a b'raisa, Amar b'yosef, Maisa b'shichin, it happened in Shichin, a city in Eretz Yisrael, v'echad shi'niach le'ovav shloisha b'adei chardol, a man was left behind by his father as an inheritance, three stalks of mustard. Mustard seed grows on stalks. The nifshach echavehen. One of them separated from the main stalk. So you have a main stalk, and then you have branches that the branch off it. One of those branches broke off. The nimtzu v'tisha kavim chardol. Just in that branch alone, there were 9 kavim of mustard seeds. A kav is around three pounds. You're talking there was 25 or 30 pounds of mustard seeds just in that one branch. The eighths of sikuchu v'sukas yotzri. And there was so much wood in that branch that they were able to use it to cover a hut used by potters. The Gemara elsewhere describes that potters in those times would travel around from one place to another, making and selling their pottery. They would typically have one sukkah next to the other, one that they would live in and the other one that they would display their wares in, and they would roof them with pieces of wood, like a sukkah. So therefore here there was enough wood in just this one branch to cover a sukkah's yotzer all by itself. So again, we see talking about how much Eretz Yisrael is capable of producing when there's Hashem's bracha in it. And another example, Amar Rav Shimon ben Tachlifa, Kelaur ben Tachlifa, or Hagoyes HaGurah changes it to Chalafta. Anyway, Kelach shall prove niyach lanu abba. Our father left us as an inheritance one stalk of cabbage, and it was so big. Well, you know, olam v'yodim v'bisulam. We needed a ladder to get up and down it. That's how gigantic it was. Now continues the Gemara with another teaching in this connection. We quoted just now part of a pasuk from Hazinu that says in Chelav Kol Yeschita. The next words in the pasuk there are the Dam Einav Tishta Chomer. The next words are the blood of the grape, meaning the juice of the grape. Tishta Chomer, you will be able to drink Chomer. Now the simple meaning of Chomer, Rashi explains on the pasuk, means high quality wine. So in other words, the pasuk is saying that Eretz Yisrael produces high quality grain, chelav kol yeschita, as well as high quality wine that you can drink the blood of the grape, the wine of the grape. But now let's analyze this further. Omru, the Chacham said, loy ta'olam azeh ha'olam abot. This world, the way things are in this world, is not like the way it's going to be in the world to come, meaning in the time of Mashiach, and based on that sikha that we were mentioning before, the way it's going to be in the second period of Yemos Mashiach, particularly. Ha'olam azeh yesh b'tzar livtzer v'lidrach. In this world, you have all the bother of you have to harvest the grapes, you have to press them to get out the wine. For Olam Haba, when it comes to Olam Haba, instead, maybe Anova Achas, the Koran of a spinner, all you're going to need is one grape. The word Anova, he was written with a Vav, it's really supposed to be with a vase. So one single grape, the Koran of a spinner, you'll have to carry it in a wagon, in a wagon or in a ship, because that's how big it'll be. Or Manicha Bezavis Beisa, you'll put that one grape in the corner of your house, or Mesapik and then a Kipitus Gadol, and you'll be able to use, you'll get your supply of wine out of that grape as if it was a gigantic barrel. So the grape itself will be the barrel in which the wine is stored. The eighth of Masikin, Tachas HaTavshil, and the wood of it you'll then be able to use to burn under to put on your stove and burn under a pot of food, where the wood of it could mean the seeds of it. Although Marsha says actually what it means is once the grapes themselves are functioning as the barrels, now you don't need the barrels themselves anymore. The barrels themselves are made out of wood. So now you'll say, in that case, let me break up the barrel and use it for firewood, because now I don't need it anymore. And he continues, the Braise continues, you won't find at that time a single grape that has less than 30, that has less than 30 barrels of wine in that one grape. The pasuk that we just quoted, you'll drink chomer, which means good quality wine from the blood of the grape. But we're dashing, I'll take you chomer ela chomer. Don't read the word chomer, which means good quality wine, but rather chomer, which means a chomer is another name for a kur. A kur contains 30 sa. And the idea is a usual barrel of wine, or a gorov is really not a barrel, it's a small container, whatever the point is, it would hold a sa of wine. So now we're saying that each grape will hold 30 times as much of grape juice of wine. Gemara continues. He asked of Dimi Omer, my dichtiv. Let's darshan another pasuk in that connection about the wine that comes from Eretz Yisrael. Here we're going to darshan now a pasuk from Yaakov's brachas to Shevet Yehuda. He says you have a pasuk in the middle of his bracha that says Oisri la Geffen. Let's quote the whole pasuk and then we'll explain it. Oisri la Geffen Iroi. The simple meaning of the pasuk is he'll tie his donkey, Iroi in the simple sense, means a donkey, he'll tie to a grapevine. In other words, it actually explains on the pasuk, means the grapevines are going to be so gigantic, you're going to need one donkey to hold the produce of just one grapevine. The la sereka, and to a sereka, which in the simple sense means a high quality vine, bni, my son, asona, you have to tie your female donkey. And then the pasuk continues. Kibes v'yayin labusha. He'll be able to wash his clothes with wine because there'll be so much of it. And with the blood of grapes, he'll be able to wash susay, which is another word for clothing. And then the next pasuk continues. Chachlivi einayin miyayin. His eyes will be red from wine. Lebenshinayin mecholav, and his teeth will be white from milk. So now the Gemara is dashing differently. That the pasuk is telling us about how things are going to be in Limosa Mashiach. So my dichtiv oisri la geffen iroi. What does the first words of that pasuk mean? It means we're darshining the word ir meloshen a city. There won't be at that time a single vine in Eretz Yisrael that it won't take an entire city, all the people of an entire city, to harvest the grapes of it, because the grapevines are going to produce so many grapes and such large grapes. Similarly, when it continues, in the simple sense, sereka means a high quality vine, but instead, bni asone, my son, his donkey, means, meaning, sereka, meloshin srak. Emachokol ilan srak, shab Eretz Yisrael, sheinim motzi masu shtei asone. So there won't be a single non-fruit bearing tree in Eretz Yisrael, which, la'asid lobe, is actually going to produce fruit, and so much that you're going to need two asonas, two female donkeys to carry it.
The females, I guess, carry more.
I don't know. Yeah. You find in a number of places in Chumash, for example, when Yosef is sending food to Yaakov, he sent both male and female donkeys. Yeah, apparently the female, maybe the idea is the female donkeys are more tractable. They're more calm, whatever it is. Yeah. So that's Sereka Moshin Srak. V'shema toma en bo yayin, you're going to say, okay, so maybe it means. So fine, these non-fruit-bearing trees or non-fruit-bearing vines are going to start producing fruit, but it's not necessarily going to have very much juice in it. No, therefore, Yaakov continues in the next words of his bracha, he'll wash his clothes with wine, meaning that there'll be so much wine, so much liquid in it, that you'll be able to actually use to, to wash your clothing in it.
Wine has inside of
detergent. Wine has, it's got alcohol in it, if nothing else, yeah.
That's red.
Yeah, because they used it in those times to help break down stains and things, yeah. V'shem atoma in it odon. So you're going to say maybe, but maybe it won't be red wine, and we know that red wine is nicer and that's more preferable than white wine. No, tamad loyma v'dam ein of tishta chomer. You have the pasuk from Hazinu that reported before that speaks of the blood of the grape, and blood is red, so therefore it means it'll be good, high quality red wine. Or different girsim, Aseret HaShas brings the Gemara meant to quote the pasuk over Dam HaNovim from Yaakov's bracha, the continuation of the pasuk that we were talking about, where again Yaakov describes it as the blood of grapes. So you're going to say, but maybe it won't be such high quality wine. After all, it is coming from trees that used to not, or grapevines that used to not produce fruit. So maybe it won't be the kind of wine that can actually intoxicate you, that actually can get you drunk. No, Talmud Lomar Susay. Therefore, the pasuk continues with the word Susay, where the simple meaning of Susay means like a change of clothes, but Rashi explains Maloshan has sauce. Because wine, like it's nasis, it induces, it convinces a person to do such and such, to act in a certain way that he wouldn't have if he hadn't drunk the wine. So therefore, Susay teaches us that the wine will actually have the power to intoxicate a person.
What's the actual word?
The word Merava means to make a person drunk.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to say, okay, but maybe that wine won't have such a good flavor to it. No, Tamad Lema. Therefore, the next passage continues. Chachlili einayim miyayin. What eyes will be red from wine, and we're dousing the word chachlili kochech shetoyamai. Any palate in the mouth, any the palate is the roof of the mouth. Any palate that tastes this wine, omer li li, it'll say to me, chach li li. In other words, everyone will want that wine because it'll be so tasty. So you're going to say, okay, maybe this wine will be the kind that's good for young men, but not necessarily for old people, which the Gemara mentions elsewhere that old wine, particularly aged wine, is good for old people. Yaakov got from Yosef, indeed. Therefore, the pasuk finishes off with the words, and white of teeth from milk, meaning altikui leven shinayim el leven shonim. Don't read the word leven shinayim, white of teeth, but rather leven shonim, somebody of many years, will have mechala, that this wine will be good for him. Altikui leven shinayim el libun shinayim. No, that's a few lines later. Yeah, el leven shonim. But rather to somebody who has many years, who's aged. Which Marashah says in that case, then what's the word mecholov doing in there? He says what it means is the pasuk is telling us, the drasha in the Gemara is telling us that wine will be better for the aged, for the old people, like even more than milk is for 2-year-old babies. The word leven shinayim, we can also douch in shonim, meaning not just many years like in the case of old men, but shonim also years, as in 2 years for a baby. So therefore, this wine will be better for the old people than even milk is for a 2-year-old baby. So the Gemara asks, okay, this is a nice drasha, but pashte b'krab ma'itziv, what is the pshat of the pasuk? Now, what the Gemara is going to give over here is not really a pshat, but it doesn't involve changing the words. It doesn't involve an altikri like the previous one, so therefore it's closer to the pshat. So he also said, Rabdimi Omer, when Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained, means Omer Knesset Yisrael of Na'akadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbanu Shalom, Remoiz Be'enecha Devasim Mechamra, hint to me with your eyes, like the way one person when he's friendly to the other one, winks with his eyes. So do that to me, to Devasim Mechamra, that would be sweeter to me than wine. So in other words, now we're doushing in the word Chachlili, Meloshin Rashi says Choychli, which literally means smile to me. So chachlili einayim, smile to me with your eyes, miyayin, that will be better to us, that will be, we'll prefer that over the best wine. And va'achli lishinach, and we're going to say to Hashem, show us your teeth. Well, again, when you smile at somebody, then you show your teeth, and you smile, debos mechelba, that's more delicious to us than milk. Leven shinayim, to see the whiteness of your teeth, when you smile, is better mechelav than milk. So that's closer to pshat because it doesn't involve changing any of the words of the pasuk. Which, by the way, why the Gemara needs to douch in it? First of all, you find on Targum Onkelos on the pasuk, he also douches it. He explains that chachlili einayim, that einayim means the hills. They'll be red with grapevines growing on them. And shinayim, he says, means the valleys. They'll be full of sheep. But Pashtus, one reason is why the Gemara wants to darshan is because chachlili einayim miyayin, if you say in the simple sense, their eyes are going to be red from wine, that's not a mila. You actually find a pasuk in Mishlei where Shlomo talks about a person who's drunk and how bad it is for him, and therefore you should be careful not to get in that situation. And he describes, he says, "Lemi chachlili einayim," who has the red eyes, who has the bloodshot eyes, somebody who drinks a lot. So therefore, so the Gemara Pashtus wants to understand that he's not benching Yehuda that they're going to be drunks and have bloodshot eyes. So therefore, we need a different meaning. Okay. So the Gemara says, Misayle, let up Yechanan. This last point that we said, Ben Shinayim Mecholav, means that the whiteness of Hashem's teeth, that Hashem should show us a smile, is better for us than milk. That supports what Rabbi Yechanan says. The Amr of Yechanan, somebody who shows his teeth white to his chaver by giving him a smile is even better than giving him milk to drink. The whiteness of teeth, mecholav, is better than milk. Better to show a fellow yid, a friendly face and a smile, even more that you're accomplishing even more for him than you are by giving him a drink of milk. The Gemara continues, getting back to the fertility of Eretz Yisrael and the amount of, and how much produce that you get from it. The Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Ada, Mikri Dardiki de Rish Lakish Ava. Rav Chiya bar Ada was the Melamed of Rish Lakish's kids. If Gaut lost a Yomi Veloy Osa, one day he took off work for 3 days and didn't show up. He also, when he finally came back, Omalei Rish Lakish asked him, Amai Ifagras, why'd you take off? Where'd you disappear to? Amalei says, Dolis achasi niach li abba. My father left me over as an inheritance one dolis, which is a dolis is a grapevine that's trellised on a frame or something. Instead of a grapevine naturally, the branches of it are fairly weak, and the grapes would trail all over the floor. Which though that does produce high quality wine, you find that for the menachos they would use grapes from such things. But usually people instead would take the grapevine and they'd train it to grow up onto a wall or a frame or something. So this way it's not lying on the ground. Anyway, so he says my father left me such a grapevine. Over 30 men a yonrish and gimel meis eshkolus eshkol lagarav on the first day. I harvested from that one grapevine 300 clusters of grapes, eshkol lagarav, and the wine, 7.5. The juice of each grape filled up one barrel. Yom sheni batzarti gimel meis eshkolus. On the second day, I harvested another 300 clusters of it. Shtei eshkolus lagarav. This time it took two clusters to fill up a barrel, so it was half the amount of wine as the previous day. Then the third day, I harvested another 300 clusters of grapes from it, and this time each three clusters would produce one barrel of wine. So already I've got hundreds of barrels of wine over here. At this point, he's saying I've got 600 barrels of wine. Every day it's getting less, right? Every day it's getting less, yeah. But still, he says, I wound up declaring more than half of it hefter, because at that point I said, listen, there's only so long I can stay away from my job. So that's why he's saying that's why I was away these 3 days. But Amalei, but Shlokish tells him, he loved Ifagrets. You know what? If you hadn't taken off work, if you had gotten somebody else to do the harvesting for you, have Abdet Fe, it would have produced a lot more than that. As it is, it produced a lot, but you see, it was getting less and less by day. If you had gotten somebody else to do it for you, and you had done your job teaching my kids Torah, the Ebishter would have given you even more of a bracha. More on the topic of the fertility of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Rami bar Yechezkel ikla the Bnei Brak. One time Rami bar Yechezkel visited the city of Bnei Brak. Nowadays it's all built up. But back then, in other words, there was open space over there. Chazanu lahanu izi de ka'achon tusi te'edi. He saw that there were goats were grazing under, under fig trees. The kanatif drub shemata edi. There was honey was dripping from the figs on the tree. The chelba kayef nayu. Meanwhile, as the goats are grazing over there, milk is dripping out of their udders. Umeharib bahabi adoni, and it's mixing together on the ground. The honey from the figs and the milk from the animals. Omar, he says, oh, haim zavas cholav bash. Now I understand what the Torah means when it calls out Israel, a land flowing with milk and honey. You literally have over here flowing milk and honey on the ground over here. And the Gemara gives another example. Amr of Yaakov ben Distoy, Milud la'Oinoi Shlosha Milin, between Lud and Oinoi, two cities in Eretz Israel, there are 3 mil. Nowadays, that 3 mil is mostly taken up by the airport, but back then it was open space. Pamachas kidamti ban Neshef, one time he says, I woke up very early. Early in the morning, and I was walking those 3 mil up to my ankles in honey of figs. Because again, there were so many figs growing over there, and there were so many fig trees, and they were so juicy that the juice was dripping out of them onto the ground. So he's saying there was enough to cover my feet up to my ankles as I'm walking. Further on this, the Gemara says, I personally saw the area of Zavas Cholov Vash just around the city of Tzipori in the north of Eretz Israel. The area of that was 16 by 16 mil. A mil is about a kilometer, 3/5 of a mile. So you're talking, somewhere around 9 or 10 miles. So an area 9 or 10 miles by 9 or 10 miles square was full of zavas cholov dvash. And Omer Rabbi Baba Chana says, "L'didi chazi lizavas cholov dvash shokol Eretz Yisrael." I saw the zavas cholov dvash throughout Eretz Yisrael. You have patches here and patches there. Bahavia, and altogether, if you add it all up, you could compare it to the distance between two landmarks in Bavel, and Bay Michsi and Akwa de Tobanki. The actual amount comes out, Chofbez Parsi Urka, a length of 22 parsa. There are 4 mil to a parsa, so a length of 88 parsa, or Putsi Shisa Parsi, and a width of 6 parsa, which would be 24 mil. So the entire area, so in Sipodi alone, was saying there was 16 square mil. In Eretz Yisrael as a whole, it was an area that would cover 88 by 24 mil, which is so you're talking somewhere around 1500 square you're talking somewhere around 1500 square mil of Zavas Cholov Dvash scattered throughout Eretz Yisrael. 1700, whatever.
This
is the time of the Gemara, even. So we're talking a couple hundred years after the Churban, and still there was the Zavas Cholov Dvash of Eretz Yisrael. Imagine how it was with Mancha Beis Mekbashkayim. Yeah. Continuing on this, the Gemara says, Rav Chelbe v'Rav Avira v'Rav Yosi b'Chanina iklu lahu asra. These three chachamim, Rav Chelbe, Rav Avira, Rav Yosi b'Chanina, one time visited a certain area. Aisu kamayu afarisika dehava ki ilfas kfarhinu. They brought in front of them a peach that was the size of one of the pans that they use in Kfarhinu, the Ilpas Kfarhinu Kamahavi Hasein, and those pots, we're not talking about like a small pot, we're talking about an Ilpas is like a large stew pot, like a chomen pot or something. Those hold 5 saw. A saw is around 15 or 20 pounds of water, that is, of other things that are way less, whatever, because it's a measure of volume, but still. So 5 saw, you're talking about if you filled it with water, it would hold something like 90 pounds of water, like somewhere around like 12 gallons of water. That's the size of one of these pots. So the peach was that big. They ate 1/3 of the peach, these three chachamim. They made 1/3 of it hefter because they couldn't eat any more of it. And they took the remaining third and gave it to their animals to eat. At the end of that same year, Rav Elazar visited that same place. And they brought him a peach from there also, but it was far, far smaller. He picked it up in his hand. So in other words, within that 1 year, Rashi is explaining, or Maharsha says, okay, maybe the Shana means the next year, but fine, the point is, within a very short amount of time, there was such a drastic change, such a drastic reduction in the size of the food. It went down from 5 saw all the way down to the kind that you could hold in one single hand. Like the kind of peaches that we're familiar with. But Omar, so Rav Elazar said on it, this is what the pasuk means, Eretz Eretz Pri Lemlecha, a land that was fruitful, became a salty land, which barely produces anything, Meiros Yoshveba, because of the evil of the people who lived there. So what he's saying, the people there were not behaving the way they were supposed to, and therefore the Eibishter took away that tremendous bracha, and all of a sudden now their fruit is the normal size that you find anywhere else.
In one year,
apparently, they went so bad. Yeah, it can happen. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, for example, that describes a scenario where on Rosh Hashanah, the people are tzaddikim, and Hashem decides that they're going to have plentiful rain for the year, then during that year, they become Rishayim, and then what Hashem does, he still sends the same amount of rain, but he makes sure that's wasted in places where it's not going to help the crops. So yeah, it can happen within 1 year. You know, listen, B'shah Chodah, you know, Yesh Kono Lama B'shah Achas, you have the opposite as well, yeah.
The thing is, Hashem waits until...
Hashem usually waits, but sometimes over here, maybe these people were on a high level, so therefore let the Eibishter show them their warning right away. And the Lazar is telling them, you see, the Eibishter is showing you this warning right away, realize what's going on, so you have a chance to do tshuva before you. Further on this topic, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Ikva leGavla. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi one time visited a place called Gavla, which is part of Eretz Yisrael. Chazanu lahanu ketufi. He saw these clusters of grapes that have a kaimi ki igli. They looked like they were growing there on the vine, and they looked like calves, like baby cows. When you look from a distance, that's what they look like from a distance. Omar, he says, Agolim ben Akfanim, what's going on? There are calves that are standing among the grapevines. Omar, like Tupin, you know, they told him those aren't calves, those are actual clusters of grapes. Omar, but Rabbi Shulman Levi says, Eretz, Hachnisi Peresayach, land of Eretz Israel, take back in your fruit. Lamiat Matsia Peresayach, after all, who are you producing this tremendous amount of fruit for? La'arviyam alolo shomdu alenu machapesenu, you're producing it for these Arabs who stood up against us because of our Avedas, which means, in other words, Marushal says, we're not necessarily talking about these Arabs, these Goyim who are living there are Rishoyim. They may be decent Goyim, but their fruit is still Goyim. The land is not given to them, the land is given to us, Jewish people. So he's saying, what's the point that Hashem should have, that such bracha should be given to them? Why do they deserve to have such fertility of Eretz Yisrael? The pashtus, that area was so it seems there were Jews over there. When he asked the people and they told him, they must have been Jews, but in other words, the idea would be that most of the people living in the area were going. Lashana Ikla Rav Chiya Lahasam, the next year or later on that same year, Rav Chiya visited the same place, Chazanu Dehavokaima Ki'izi. Now he saw that the grapevines were like goats, which are smaller than calves. Omar, he says, Izim ben Agfanim, he thinks the same thing. He says, there are goats among the grapevines. Omrulay, the people told him, Zil, please go away. Loitavid, Banti Chavra, don't do to us like your friend did. In other words, yeah, that when he said, Eretz, Achmisi, Peresai, it had an effect, and all of a sudden the fertility went down, and now the grapevines are much smaller, so they're telling Rabkhia, don't you start the same thing, you're going to end up taking even more away from us, yeah. So, more on this topic about the fertility of Eretz Yisrael when the Eibishter gives his brachas to it. Tanan Rabbanan, Bevirchei Sehal shel Eretz Yisrael, in the time when Eretz Yisrael is being blessed by Hashem, they saw Oysa Chameshes Riboy Korin. From one base saw, you can get 50,000 kur of grain. Now, a saw is 1/30th of a kur. So we're talking about, in other words, that you're going to plant a base saw, which the definition of it is a place where you would plant one saw of grain, and you're going to get out of it, chameshes riba is 50,000 times 30. So you're talking 1.5 million korin. Unless I'm dropping a zero somewhere around here, but yeah, you're getting an enormous amount of when Eretz Yisrael has brachas from Hashem.
What is a beis sah?
A beis sah is an area where it's an area. The definition of it is an area 50 by 50 amos. It's the area where you could plant one saw of grain.
That's the minimum, which is called a field, right?
No, it's not. No, the minimum that's called a field actually is beis tishas kabin. Is the area where you can plant 9 tab. Well, actually, no. So 9 kabin is actually a saw and a half. So actually, a base saw is smaller than base tishas kabin. Right. We learned earlier in the Masechta that usually base tishas kabin is the minimum to be considered a field. But as we're going to have in the Gemara over here, the fact is that you could plant in a smaller area. You could plant only a base saw. It means you're going to get 1.5 million. It means you're getting 1.5 million times as much as you planted. So that's when Eretz Yisrael is benefiting from the brachas of Hashem. On the other hand, Yishivosa shot Soyan, when Soyan, which was the capital of Mitzrayim in various periods, when Soyan is in its most fertile, when it was settled, Beisa is a Shivim Korin. Then you plant one Beisa, and you're going to get 70 Korin out of it. 70 times 30. So then you're talking about, you're getting 2,100. So in the best fertility of Tsoyan, which is in the Tsrayim, which is a very fertile land, you're going to get 2,100 times as much as you plant. But in Eretz Yisrael, we're saying when Eretz Yisrael has its brachas, you can get 1.5 million times as much in. How do we figure this out? The Tanya, first of all, we learn in a Braisa. I'm a mayor. Aniro isi the bikas Beis Shan. I saw in the valley of Beis Shan, Beis Sa is a Shivim Korin. That a Beis Sa can produce 70 Kor. And we're assuming that the fertility of Beis Shan, which was one of the most fertile places in Eretz Yisrael, is the same as that of Mitzrayim. Which, by the way, I mean, Beis Shan is actually part of Eretz Yisrael. But it was part of Eretz Yisrael in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. In the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, it says, when the Yidden resettled Eretz Yisrael, they didn't resettle all the areas. In particular, they didn't resettle the area of Beis Shan. So therefore, that's only called the area of Olam Mitzrayim, not Olam Bavel. And therefore, we're saying the bracha that Hashem gives Eretz Yisrael is primarily in the area where Jews live, primarily the area of Olam Bavel, which excludes Beis Shan. And he continues, now when you talk about fertile land, the best and most fertile of all the lands in that part of the world is Eretz Mitzrayim. We find that the Pasuk compares, next week's parasha, compares the cities of Sodom, and Amora, compares them to the garden of Hashem, like Eretz, actually this week's parasha. It is next week's parasha, yeah. Next week's parasha, in Parashas Lech Lecha, it mentions that Sodom and Amora, when Lot decided to settle over there, it was like the garden of Hashem, like Mitzrayim. So you see the Mitzrayim is like a garden spot in the world. This is long before Yaakov. This is because Hashem created Mitzrayim as a very fertile land. And the Emelcha Ma'ula B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim Yosef Mitzrayim, within Mitzrayim itself, the best area is Tzoyan, Da'abu Merabu Ma'malachim. We see that kings were raised over there. That was the capital city. Dichtiv, we find the Nevuah from Yeshaya. He's criticizing the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael. They're depending on Mitzrayim for military aid, and they're sending ambassadors to Mitzrayim to work it out. And it says his noblemen are coming to Tzoyan. Now, why are they going to Tzoyan? Because that's the capital. So we see that Tzoyan is the capital of Mitzrayim, and therefore it has the best land. Naturally, when they set up the capital or city of a country, it's going to be in the best part of the country.
We're saying if so was
that's what we're going to get to. Wait, we're going to say that even Eretz Yisrael, that even though as fertile as Mitzrayim is, Eretz Yisrael is better than that. That's where the point we're working out of here. Within Mitzrayim itself, within the lands around there, Mitzrayim is the best. Within Mitzrayim itself, Tzoyan is the best. By the way, I mean, we say that Goshen is Meitav Ha'aretz. The difference is that with Meitav Ha'aretz, as far as grazing land for cattle, because that's what the Shvatim had, they had sheep and goats and cattle. But in terms of planting, Tzoyan, the area of Tzoyan was better. Now, on the other hand, now, let's contrast with Eretz Yisrael. Within Eretz Yisrael itself, the Troshim, the rockiest area of Eretz Yisrael, is the area of Chevron. We see that in Hebron they buried the dead. You usually wouldn't bury the dead in places that could be used for good agricultural land, only in areas that are rocky and not so good for agriculture. Even so, we see from the Psukim, Hebron Mavuna al Achas Meshiva Betzoya. Nevertheless, we see that Hebron is seven times as good, seven times as fertile as Tzoyan. So in other words, we're saying, as much as Mitzrayim is a beautiful, fertile land, and Tzoyan is the best part of it, Hebron, which is the worst part of Eretz Yisrael, is seven times better. And how do we see that? The Pasuk says, there's a Hebron was built 7 years before Tzoyan Mitzrayim. So we have to ask, my Nivnasa, what do we mean it was built? Do we mean literally that the city of Hebron was founded 7 years before the city of Tzoyan? What's the logic? Since when does a person build a house for his younger son before his older son? In this parish, you have so Mitzrayim is the second son of Chum. Canaan is the fourth and the youngest son, so it's not logical. We're assuming that Ham went and built cities and built capital cities for his children in the various places where they ended up settling. So therefore, what's the logic that he would have built a city for Canaan in Eretz Yisrael, the city of Hebron, before he would have built Tzoyan in Mitzrayim? So the Pasuk can't mean that it was actually built earlier. So the Pasuk is telling us that it was built seven times as good as the city of Tzoyan. So therefore, so we said, and built, in other words, means it actually explains mevuna is lashon pri. The word the nivnasa suggests payers, like we find, for example, by Rachel, she uses the expression bona gama noichin yimena. I would be built up through that you Yaakov have children with Bilha. So we see that building up can be related to having fruit. So it means that Chevron is seven times as fruitful as Tzoyan, even though Tzoyan is the best in Mitzrayim and Chevron is the worst of Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi, by the way, brings this, and he mentions another point as well. He says that also the idea is when you're building construction projects, you start off, you use the best stuff for the first project, and then whatever's left of it, you use over for the next project. So the same way, even if we take it literally that Chevron was built before Tzoyan, then it would still mean that Chevron is better. It means that Chevron is a better place. They use the good stuff in building it, and then whatever was left over, they use to build Tzoyan. So again, we see, in other words, that Chevron is better. And now, so that Bahani Mila Betroshim, so far that's talking about as far as the rocky areas of Eretz Yisrael, that even Chevron, which is in a rocky area, is seven times as good as Tzoyan. Abba Shaloi Betroshim Chamesh Mea. Now if it's not a rocky area, if it's good agricultural land, then in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get 500 times as good as you would anywhere else. So far we're up to 500. Bahani Mila Shaloi Betroshim. And that's applying when you don't have the brachas of Eretz Yisrael, but when you have a special bracha given to Eretz Yisrael, then you have, as you find by the pasuk, by Yisrael Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahiv Avemer, that Yitzchak planted in that land when he was in the land of the Plishtim, he planted and then Vayimtza Meya Sha'arim, he found 100 times as much as he had expected. So therefore, that's how from 500 kur we get to 50,000 kur, like we said before. So that's how we arrive at the calculation that we said before, that when Eretz is in a fertile area of Eretz Yisrael, when it's benefiting from Hashem's brachas, one base sah will produce 50,000 kor, 1.5 million times as much. That's how we work that out. Why after 100, by the way, Marshall points out that, like this, you have 1/100th of your crop goes as trumas maiser to the koyim. Therefore, in a certain sense, you can say 1/100th of the crop belongs to Hashem. Truma, you have, okay, Natura, you only have to give one grain of truma, and you can be yotze with it. Trumas Maiser is a defined amount, 1/100th. So therefore, so to speak, 1/100th belongs to Hashem. When Hashem is giving the brachas, then Hashem gives you 99 times as much. And then therefore, you have, altogether, then you have 100 times as much. You have the 1/100th that you would have to give Hashem, and another 99 portions for yourself.
I guess did very well.
Yeah. So in this connection, the Gemara continues. Tanya, Omer Rav Yosi, Sa'ab Yehuda Hoisa Oisa Chamesh Se'in. When you would harvest one saw of wheat in Eretz Yisrael, in Yehuda, which is specifically the southern area of Eretz Yisrael, which includes Hebron, by the way, then in that area, Hoisa Oisa Chamesh Se'in, you could actually get 5 saw out of that one saw. Now, how do you do that? It doesn't become larger. Then Yehoyada says, because the grain was so fat and juicy that it would absorb a lot of water when you're making dough out of it. So therefore, you actually would wind up that you have a much larger volume of dough than you started out with. You would end up with sa'ah kemach. You'd have one saw of plain flour, sa'ah soilus, another saw of fine flour, sa'ah subin. Then you'd have a saw of subin, which is the bran of the grain, sa'ah mursan. You'd have another saw of the mursan, which is the wheat germ, sa'ah kibuya, and then you'd have one more saw of pumpernickel bread. So you'd have different qualities of flour that you'd get out of the one saw of wheat. Fine flour, the regular flour, the pumpernickel, etc. But you would get all that out of, you started with only one saw. Again, because the idea is that it was so gedicht, it was so fat and so juicy that could get. And in this connection, the Gemara says, Omalei Alhu Tzduki L'Rav Chanina. Tzduki says to Rav Chanina, Yoem Meshabchitu Babarachet. You have very good reason to be praising your land. Now, it's Tzduki, it wouldn't be saying your land, because Tzduki is also Yid. The Pashtos is something that the censor changed, where it probably originally said Min or Nochri or something like that. Anyway, he says, you have good reason to consider to praise your land of Eretz Yisrael. Let me tell you, my father left me one base saw as a field, which, as we said before, usually base tishas cabin is the minimum for a field, but here his father left him one base saw. From that one base saw, which is only 50 by 50 amas, you're talking an area of only like 75 feet by 75 feet approximately. So you're not talking about a very large area. And from it, he says, mimena meshach, from it I'm able to produce oil, mimena chamar, from that same area also, another part of it, I'm able to produce wine, mimena ivor, from another one of it, from another part of it, grain, mimena kidneys, and from yet another part of it, beans. So within that base size has smaller plants that produce each of these things. Mimena royus mcnossi, and there's even room in it for my cattle, for my animals to graze in what's left. So that one base size producing so much. Another example, the Gemara says, Amaleahu bar Amiral bar Arad Yisrael, and Amori says to one of the Jewish people shortly after they had entered Eretz Yisrael, he says, he asked the Goy, asked the Yid, Hai Tolsta de Kaima Guda de Yaudina, this particular palm tree that's growing by the banks of the Yaudin River, Kama Gadritu Mina, how much are you harvesting from it? How many dates are you harvesting from it? Amalei tells him, Shitin Kuri, from that one tree, we're getting 60 kor of dates. A kor is around 500 pounds, so you're talking an enormous amount of dates just from the one tree. But the Amodi, the Goy, wasn't impressed. Amalei, the Goy said, Akati Layavitabal, look, what's going on over here? You barely just come into Eretz Yisrael, Achriv Tua, and you've already destroyed Eretz Yisrael. And I never asked him, Kuri, have a Gazer Emina. We Goyim, when we lived here in Eretz Yisrael, we used to harvest 120 kor of dates from this one tree. You're telling me you're getting only 60. What have you done to our beautiful land? Amalei, so the Yid answered, Anonamin Chad Gisa Kaminoa. You're right, I was only talking about from one side of the tree we get 60, and then the other side we get another 60. So yes, it's the same as it was when you guys were in control of Eretz Yisrael, the same 120.
Why do they have to bust out so much?
The Goyim, because the idea was, Beavish just said, he wants to give the Jewish people Eretz Chem Tova Rechava. He wants to give us a beautiful and fertile land. In particular, there's also the idea, you have Pesukim, for example, in Parshas Vayeshanan, that stressed the idea that we're coming into a land that's full of all kinds of things that the Goyim are prepared for us, which we didn't have to work for. So the same way over here, David should gave them this enormous amount of fruit from the tree. So now, when the Yidden come into Eretz Yisrael, it's all ready for them for the taking. Continuing on this topic, the Gemara says, Amar Chista, my dichtiv, the etin, what does it mean, a pasuk? The etin loch eretz chemda, Hashem says through the Navi Yirmiya, he says, I gave you a desirable land, nachlas tzvi, the inheritance of the deer. So why are we comparing Loma Eretz Yisrael nimshal of tzvi? Why are we comparing Eretz Yisrael to a deer? Loma loch, it teaches you, mat tzvi ze en ode masik vasare, just like with a deer, the skin won't contain the flesh. If you shech the deer and skin it, and then you try to put this, the skin is very stretchy. So if you, not very stretchy really, so if you, it, well it is, when the animal's alive, it's stretched out very tightly over it. If you skin the deer and then you try to put the meat of the deer back in, it won't fit in. Because they're shrinks, yeah. So af Eretz Yisrael, enemach zekes peresel. The same way Eretz Yisrael can't even hold all of its peiros, it produces so many peiros, there's no place even to store them. And so Dava Acha, another explanation, Matzviza Kal Mitolachayas, just like a deer is swifter and faster than all the other creatures, you have to be Rotz Chatzvi after all, Af Eretz Yisrael, Kal Mitolachayas, is Vashalos Peiroseh, the same way Eretz Yisrael is faster than other lands for its fruit to ripen. It happens faster in Eretz Yisrael than other places. To ripen it. So then you're going to say, if the comparison is to a deer, Mats, Visa, Kal, in the Sori Shaman. Yes, a deer is very fast, but its meat is not very fat. It's very lean meat. It's mostly muscle. Maybe, yeah, the growing season is shorter in Eretz Yisrael, and the fruit matures faster, but maybe it's not fat and juicy. No, Tamil Lema, Zavas Chol of Adrash. Therefore, we have another meaning of the word Zavas Chol of Adrash, means Shmeinim Mechol of Masukim Midvash. It means that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is fatter than milk and sweeter than honey. So yes, the food of Eretz Yisrael is juicy and sweet, even though it grows, and it also grows and develops faster. Yeah. So the Gemara tells you have a lot. So now getting back to, we started the sugya by talking about the advantages of living in Eretz Yisrael, because we mentioned in the Mishnah of the Dinim about when one member of a couple can force the other to move to Eretz Yisrael, etc. So now getting back to that, Rabbi Lozer, he had a solid Eretz Yisrael. When Rabbi Lozer was moving to Eretz Yisrael, so he grew up in Bavo. It was a town of Rav and Shmuel in Bavo. Later on, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So when he came to Eretz Yisrael, Omer, he said, Paltu be Mechodah. Now, by arriving in Eretz Yisrael, I see that now I'm free of one curse. The Gemara is going to bring in a minute a pasuk from Yechezkel where Hashem curses out Nevi'ei Shecher and says there's three things they're not going to be able to achieve. So now, Rabbi Elazar says, now that I've arrived in Eretz Yisrael, then I see that I've overcome one of those. Now I'm not in danger of that I'm going to say that I'm punished with one of those things. When they gave him smicha in Eretz Yisrael, Amar Palti L'Mitauti. Then he said, now I've been saved from two of those curses. And when they appointed him to the Soda Iber, to the group of Chachamim, whose job it is to determine whether we need an Iber Yer, which involves very complicated calculations, and it was only for the elite Chachamim, Amar said, Palti L'Mitlas, now I see I've been saved from all three curses. What curses are we talking about? Shenema, Pasuk in Yechezkel, Hashem says, my hand, my punishment, is going to be against the Nevi'im who give false visions. And he continues, the passage goes, Besod Ami lo yiu v'chsov beis Yisrael lo yichasevu v'el admas Yisrael lo yavayu. So he's doubting one by one. Besod Ami lo yiu, when he says they won't be in the secret of my people, zesod ibu, that means Hashem is saying these people will not have the schus to be in the soda ibu, to be in that group of Chachamim who determine whether there needs to be a leap year. They may be great to Malach Chachamim, but the fact that they're giving the Ruach Shekhar, they're going to be punished and excluded from that. So now he's saying, I have that. When he says they won't be written in the writing of Beis Yisrael, that means that Hashem is saying they won't receive smicha, because then it's written down that the person received smicha. And when it says you won't come to the land of Eretz Yisrael, it means exactly what it sounds like. So now the Rabbi is saying, I came to Eretz Yisrael, I got smicha, and I was appointed to the Soda Iber, therefore now I'm free of all those three curses. More on this topic of coming to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Zera ki ava solo to Eretz Yisrael, when Reb Zera was coming to Eretz Yisrael, we discussed yesterday how he wanted to go, and his Rebbe Reb Yehuda didn't want, and he had to kind of evade him. Anyway, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, loy ashkach mabro b'medar, he couldn't find a ferry to cross. There was no ferry available. He had to cross a river. Knock at the matzra of a ka'avar. Instead, he grabbed a hold of a matzra and crossed. So Rashi explains there are places on a river, there's no regular bridge over there. What they do is they put a plank, they threw a plank across the river, a narrow plank of wood, and next to it, so what do? It's too narrow to walk, to walk normally. What they do is they put on each end of the river, they put a peg in the ground, they put a stake in the ground, and then they stretch a rope from one end to the other. That serves as a handrail. So while you're crossing this plank bridge, then you hold on to that handrail, and you go hand over hand and cross the river that way. The Pashtus, I guess the idea is, like this, for example, field workers can use it if they have to get quickly across from one side to the other. Anyway, that's all that was available right now to cross the river. So he used that, which can't have been very comfortable. But a certain Tzduki says to him, who sees what's going on, he says, I'm a pziza, you hasty people, to kadmitu pu maichu lo udnaifu. You let your mouths go ahead of your ears. You know, by Matan Torah, he said, nasa v'nishma, without even knowing what you're getting yourselves into. You still seem to be continuing with the same kind of hastiness. Why don't you wait for the ferry like a normal person? Sort of Zeta answers him, look, we're talking about the place where even Moshe and Aaron didn't have the schus to go into Eretz Yisrael. How do I know that I'm going to be zeicha to go into it, or even to cross the river to get into it, which Moshe and Aaron weren't? Therefore, I have to grab the opportunity as fast as possible, and if that means going over this plank, then that's what I'm going to do. So the Gemara continues, Rab Abba Menashe Kippi Da'apel. Rab Abba, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he kissed the Kippi of Apel. Rashi says two possibilities. Kippi can mean the coral that grows in the sea by Apel. So in other words, even though it's not part of the land itself, it's only something that grows in the water, but it's so precious because it has to do with Eretz Yisrael, they would kiss it. The second explanation, Rashi says, is Kippi means the rocks of Apel. Tosfos points out, Akko is on the border of Eretz Yisrael, so like half of it is Eretz Yisrael and half is not. But as soon as he came there, he kissed the rocks or the coral of it in appreciation of Eretz Yisrael. Rab Chanina Maskin Maskelay. Rab Chanina, whenever he saw something where there was a stumbling block in the road in a city in Eretz Yisrael, he would remove it. Because Rashi says he wanted to make sure people don't say shame ra about Eretz Yisrael. People are going to trip over it. They're going to say, in Eretz Yisrael, the roads are no good. So therefore, he would make sure to remove any problems in the road so nobody complains about Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos gives a different explanation. Maskel, maskel, that means he would weigh. He would, when he's on his way to Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't know if he's quite crossed over into Eretz Yisrael yet, he would weigh the rocks. When he found the rocks were lighter, he would know he's not yet in Eretz Yisrael. When he found the rocks were heavier, then he would know that now he's in Eretz Yisrael. The rocks of Eretz Yisrael have a different quality to them than the rocks of Chutz Laaretz. You have the pasuk in Parshas Eitev, Eretz Asher Avaneha Barzel, the stones of Eretz Yisrael produce iron. So that was how he knew, in other words, when he crossed over into Eretz Yisrael. And Tosfos adds, he would also kiss them. And the Gemara continues, Rab Ami and Rab Asi, kaimi l'shimsha l'tula o mitula l'shimsha. Rab Ami and Rab Asi, when they were sitting, if they were sitting in a place where it was sunny, then they would get up and sit in a shady place. And vice versa, if they were in a shady place, they would get up and sit. And it was cold, they would get and sit, they would go and sit in a sunny place. Again, the idea being, Rashi says, in order that they shouldn't have any reason to complain about Eretz Yisrael. They shouldn't even have a reason to complain. It's too cold or it's too hot. So they would dazka make the effort to sit in the most comfortable place. Moshe has a different explanation about it, that it means, he says, they would take the rocks and they would set them up in places like tell people where the good areas are to sit. Rav Chiya Gamda loved Eretz Yisrael so much that he would roll around in the dust of it. Shenema, and the pasuk says, Ki rotz ravadecha es avaneha, your servants desire its stones, v'esafora yichenenu, and they have a desire for its dust. So we see that these chachamim even appreciated the stones and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Now, on the other hand, the Gemara is going to. Until now, we were talking about what's going to be with the fertility of Eretz Yisrael. So now, let's talk about something else that's going to happen before Mashiach's time, the Chedle Mashiach. So the Gemara says, Amrav Zera, Amrav Yirmiyah, Ba'aba, Dursh Ben David Ba, in the generation when Ben David, when Mashiach comes, Kategoria of Tamar Chachamim. There will be Kategoria on the Tamar Chachamim. Rashi says it means there's going to be many accusers and many Malamdim Chayva against the Chachamim. That people are going to accuse them of all kinds of things. Unfortunately, we see that nowadays, but we see, in other words, that's preparation for Yemos HaMashiach. Yeah. Ki Amrita Kameh Shmuel, Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba, Rabbi Zera says, when I told this over to Shmuel, Omar, he said, what's going to happen is, Siruf Achat Siruf. There's going to be one refinement after another. Hashem is going to bring Zeras on top of Zeras, which will refine the Jewish people. Shenema, but Oid Bo Assyria, as the pasuk says, there will yet be 1/10 left, meaning even when there's only 1/10 left, 9/10 are already gone, the Shava, then they will still return, the Hoysa Lavar, and they will be destroyed. So in other words, even that 1/10 is still gonna have to go through this process of refinement. Marashah says the point is, we find many places that Tzaddikim and the Jewish people in general are compared to silver, and silver you have to refine over and over again. So the same way the Eibishter is going to put the Jewish people through a process of refinement over and over in order to refine out the people who are Zoicha to the Gula and Mitzvah Shlem. Atonir Rabbi Yosef, Bazuzi or Bazuzi de Bazuzi. So Rabbi Yosef taught in a braisa, there's going to be plunderers after there's going to be plunderers and plunderers of plunderers. And there's going to have goyim plunder from the Jewish people, and then you're going to have another group of goyim who are going to go and plunder from them. That's how things are going to be. But now the Gemara wants to finish on a happy note. Amrav Chiya Ba'ashi Amrav, Asidin Kolivone Srach, about Yisrael, Shigitin Opeiris. In the future, all the non-fruit bearing trees in Eretz Yisrael will produce fruit. So Tosfos says again that this is because we want to end with a Dover Tov, so if we didn't bring this with all the other statements about Eretz Yisrael, we left this for the end of the year. Marashah says, actually, this is also something about the signs of Yemos HaMashiach. The same way as we're saying, when you see that there's category of Tamina Chachamim, and Bazuzi or Bazuzi de Bazuzi, it shows that Mashiach is on his way, the same way he brings from a different Gemara, when you see that the trees of Eretz Yisrael are fertile and producing fruit, and even we're saying over here, the Ivani Snack, it shows that Mashiach is very close. It brings from a Gemara and Sanhedrin. So Nema, the pasuk says, "The eighth nasa period, the trees will bear their fruit. Te'en of a gefen nasnu chelam, the fig tree and the vine will produce their fruit. So since if we have already te'en of a gefen, then that means the fruit bearing trees. So what's the eighth nasa period means? Even the non fruit bearing trees, which until now were non fruit bearing, now they'll start producing fruit. Laws of loving. So again, there's the idea in that sicha that I mentioned before, where the Rebbe talks about on one level, this means that." This is how it was before the Chet Eitz Hadas. There was no such thing as fruit-bearing trees. So that potential already exists in the world. And now, also, love it, it'll come to fruition. And then the Rebbe talks about this idea of the two tekufas in Yemos Mashiach, where all of this will take place in that second tekufa, where then we won't have any more Olam Kamin Hagin Noyeg. Then you're going to have all these Nisim and all these tremendous things that we're talking about in this Gemara. Hadron Alach Shnei Naik Dayon Exeris, or Slikalam Masech Betzulis.